What's going to be good about tonight is if we're all able to kind of be in here tight, close together, part of a discussion, sharing some things together, asking questions, stuff like that. I am excited about tonight in a way that maybe I haven't been excited about things in quite some time, and I'm thrilled to be able to share all of us together some of what's going on. You know, it's hard to keep track of each other, right, during the summer. I mean, we're all kind of coming and going, and I don't know where some of you have been for a few months, but some of us have really been on quite a journey, and we're going to share some of that with you tonight. We sent out a letter just a couple weeks ago, not too long, and the letter which invited you here, which for most of you, I think, raised your curiosity. I think for some, it was maybe bothersome, maybe even made you angry, I don't know. But it explains just a little bit of that journey in a small way. So that's what tonight is for. We want to be able to show you some things and talk through some things and so forth. But however it was that letter struck you, it was just the first attempt to help you guys realize that God has begun, I think, to radically reshape some things here in my life and seeing it much beyond just journey. And it's the same, it's the kind of stuff that as I read and hear and talk with people who are in the church all over the place, the Spirit of God is doing some amazing things in His church all around the world. And in a minute, you're going to see and hear some of that. Okay, now, you have to know that from the very beginning, journey has never been about anti-anything, okay? And neither is this the kind of stuff that we'll talk about. We've always tried practicing how we might bring the best, bring with us the best of what we have experienced from whatever tradition or whatever thing we've been a part of in the past, and use it in a way to help us move toward a new and better way of faith and life and churching together, just being the church together, okay? So we want to start tonight. We're going to show you a DVD, and it's some people sharing some things that are really exciting and some of their experience. And we've decided to show all of it because there are things that are said throughout the whole thing which I think are really important. Some things about the work of the Holy Spirit today in His church, in the Church of Christ, things about leadership, things about money, about unity, and we want you to hear it all. Now, here's what we want you to do. You need one of these, okay? These are just our old connection cards. You need one of these, and you need a pen, and Brad will supply you with one if you do not have it. Because what we want you to do, as you watch this and hear it, we want you to write down something, anything that which you hear that is challenging, that is encouraging, that is intriguing to you. Maybe questions that you would want to ask, because we're going to talk about it afterward. Okay, so make sure somebody nearby has one of these and a pen to write with, so that as you hear some of that, you can grab it and write it down. Okay. All right. I'll just mention, by the way, real quick, right here, kind of right in the center, right in front of the first row of tables, there are some Bibles there, and I believe there'll be maybe a couple points at which we're going to look at a couple things here tonight, although a lot of it we're kind of moving quickly, and it's just some discussion stuff. I'm going to give you some things that you could do on your own, maybe later at home, but also right there is just a kind of a very lame attempt at a giving station, but the backpacks are there if you want to make use of the backpacks tonight, okay? So, I think that's about everything. Our kids are good. All that's squared away. Everybody kind of knows what's going on there? All right. Matt, why don't you go ahead and roll this DVD? All right. Brad, will you flip on that light that I think it's number 2. We just want to take a little bit of time to give you a chance to ask some questions, make some comments, share from anything. It's not like watching Gladiator or anything, but it's speaking to something that is very powerful that God's doing all around the world. And there's a ton I could say, but you're not here for that. So thoughts, comments, questions. Okay. Yeah. Can y'all? Did y'all hear him? Did you guys hear him over there? Yeah, that's a great question. That is something we're going to kind of lay out. Where do we go from here? Shortly. It does involve homes. It involves where we can all gather together in a large space. We'll talk about that shortly. So good. You're on to something. Other comments, questions? Dan? Yeah. One of the things they were mentioning, I probably need to repeat for the camera here, is talking about kind of the money and how is it distributed and organized and whatnot. As they commented in there, when the resources that God's people are sharing together, when it's not being drained by large buildings and big staff and so forth. And instead, it's given to the widows and orphans and people in need, and to do things to show the love of Christ to others. It's something that becomes very contagious for people. People get very excited about being able to do that. It's my dream for us as a community to be able to function that way. Now the specifics and the logistics of when you're with a group of people, a smaller group like that, and if you actually collect money as a group, well, what do you do with it and where does it go? And the details of that, I think we as a church family need to figure out and need to talk about. One of the beauties of it is here's a group that can get excited about something. There may be a neighbor that somebody who's part of that group, a neighbor of theirs, that they know they have need for this, or it'd be great if we could help with that kind of thing, or here in the community. And to be able to empower them as the church to say, go do that. And how people begin to share resources in very sacrificial and significant ways. We at Journey have experienced that before. When we were younger and very little of my salary or what I need to, how I'm making a living, when very little of that came from Journey, and we were able to take that money and plant other churches. We planted two other churches that way. And we were able to take it and pour it into the community, doing things in much bigger ways. It was something that we just never really had to speak much of, and it was something that people did in a bigger, more exciting kind of way. So I dream a Journey being able to return to that and do that kind of thing. And we can talk more about the financial side of it, the money of it, in a little bit. Anything else? Comments?
In terms of the financial side of it, with the community, all you're doing is living an ordinary life. Everyone's doing what they need to do to help each other get by. And there always seems to be blessings in abundance when it's done in the context of what the Lord wants in our lives. And one thing that really stood out in the DVD here was just a simple statement. When the joy leaves, the ministry loses.
Yeah.
And it can be so simple as just a few people getting together and doing normal stuff.
Yeah, doing normal stuff, living normal life and sharing together that way. Good. I know you didn't catch that on camera, but you should be here. You could hear it better. No, I'm just kidding. Stacy. Yep. Is there ever a point, is there ever a time when all of these groups do meet together in a larger group as a whole? There are certainly some, you're implying, there are certainly some advantages, some good things that come out of that and so forth. Yes, we will speak to that in shortly here. Good. Good. Okay. Good. And we will shortly here. I'll hand you something that will show you what we're wanting to do. Tennille. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, very good. What do you do with kids? It's a big thing. One thing I want to press as a pastor of a church like this, I want to say a question we need to be asking ourselves is this. What is the role that I, as a parent, am supposed to be playing in the spiritual formation of my children? I don't think that question gets asked often enough. A lot of times, it's very easy, particularly in the bigger churches that have all kinds of resources and things to dump into that, it's very easy to, I walk in the door and I hand off my children to somebody and they do it for an hour on a Sunday. And so just philosophically or, you know, fundamentally, I think it's important that we be the kind of group that says, shouldn't we? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. Yes, we should. As parents, we need to play the central role in the spiritual formation of our children. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we do that realistically and effectively as a large group, and as parents who sometimes go, I don't even know where to begin. What do I do? One of the things in like the smaller setting, because that's specifically what you're asking about. As we've talked, we thought, you know, for us to utilize that, not in an every week sort of way, by the way, but to utilize that format, we want to be able to kind of ramp up the work we might do to help any particular group that meets in a home or just any individual family be more effective at involving their kids in those kinds of things. Imagine, if you will, that you're together with a group like that and we've provided a few ideas that you might be able to, as a group, with any of the children who are part of that, you know, take 10 minutes or 15 minutes, involve your kids in this activity or in this thing that you would do, these things that you might share or questions you might ask. Let them be a part of it, and then maybe it's okay to allow them to go, and as we often have done in, you know, your experience of a house church, they go play and they go spend time together, and then we as a group do various other things. I would see it functioning much the same, but we would work a little harder, maybe a lot harder, at being more actively involved in helping shape our kids that way. And you know what? I'll come right to you, Mary Beth. I want for people to be a part of my kids' lives who are very significant in helping shape them spiritually, you know. And it really can happen better and more effectively in that kind of setting where people get to know you on a personal level and you become a voice in their lives as opposed to just a person who once a week and maybe, oh yeah, they rotate through once a month. So I, you know, it really isn't, there's very little impact, significant impact that can happen there. We think it would be much more effective in that kind of setting. So we would want to do a lot of work and help make that more effective and do a better job of it. Jarvis. Yeah, good. It's interesting how oftentimes people will say, well, you know, the concern about false doctrine being taught in a small group like that, I mean, that happens in churches all the time, you know. So I think I would just say, what would we envision happening? We would play a much more active role in engaging, in very regularly meeting with anyone who hosts or is taking on some kind of leadership role in a house church setting, you know. And really just, we do, you know, I specifically do the work of training and equipping and encouraging and helping them wrestle through those kinds of things as maybe they have question and also being able to be part of, and we're jumping ahead a little bit, we'll show you here shortly, but for us to be able to, when I say us, myself, Brad, you know, any others, some of our elders, being able to be more regularly active or present with any of the house church groups, being able to be there and be part of some of that stuff, I think that would be a way that would we'd be able to avoid some of that. You know, is that fair? Is that okay? Other comments, questions? Dan. Yeah, I don't know. What about the size? Is there an ideal number? I don't know how I would answer that question yet. And again, I think it's something that we as a community would, you know, we can talk about. We could kind of wrestle through that for the best. Jarvis. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. When reformers like Martin Luther saw that the practices of the church of his day had outlived their usefulness, he certainly felt a calling to revive the faith, to recover the dynamic elements of this thing that God has begun in the person of Jesus and continues to do through those who follow him. Yeah, it is a calling to a way of life. Church is not, and we've said this from the very beginning, although I think our practice has betrayed the things we've said. Church isn't something you go to, it's something you do. We have that same calling to challenge some of those things. So, and as I've particularly this summer read the book of Acts and the letters of Paul to the church when it was first born, and I'm seeing the connection in a totally different way to ways God is leading his church today and the story of those first followers of Jesus. This isn't like some new model or some new thing we just want to try. It really is the original way of being the people of God. And it's so ancient, it's new to us. But there's something about the essence of church that is best captured in that kind of setting. And so we feel that we need to make use of that to be able to experience more of those kinds of things. Let me give you a couple things. We can do some more comments or questions. I didn't print off one of these for everybody. I didn't expect necessarily all of you. Hannah or Sage, maybe you could just get those going. Maybe every couple of people grab one of these. This is just a sheet that, go ahead, Hannah, grab that pile and just start moving them back through. Okay? Thank you. This is just a sheet that, Sage, you go that way and Hannah goes that way. There you go. That works better. All right. This is, there are actually about 20 of these, and I'm just giving you one sheet that shows 8 of them, I think. I think I put 8 on there. Some of the examples of what we've come to know church to be like. When we think of church, we think of these things, or we have experienced it this particular way. Yet in the New Testament, we read something that it's hard for us to recognize it because we've never experienced it quite like that. And we might dream of something that way, but so this is just an example of kind of the, here's how we know church, and here's how the New Testament, here's how the Bible describes it. Now, again, there are several more. Two things I'll say about this. This would be the kind of thing that in the next couple months, before we ever jump to this kind of thing, we want to be able to talk through some of this stuff. And we want to be able to... we don't have to do much teaching on it. I mean, we can just read it right there. But we want to discuss it and try to imagine it and describe it. And anybody, we have extras. Anybody else want to just grab one of these? There are some things that I think we at Journey have been, we've been working hard to do. And we've done a good job of them. But I think we can do even a lot better. But this is just an example of, like I say, some of the things that have really certainly challenged our thinking recently. One other thing I'll send around as well Thanks, ladies. I love you so much. Okay. I'll describe this. By the way, on the backside of some of these are the original letter that was sent out. We're just trying to conserve paper and stuff. Okay. We love trees. So this here, go ahead, do the same thing. This here is a sheet. You may not be interested in this at all, but when we say, you know, there are some things that have begun, that have been happening in the church that just really, in many ways, aren't biblical. And historically, we'd have to look at them and ask some serious questions. This gives you some examples of them. You may just look at this and go, oh my word, what is all this stuff? But things like the office of the pastor, meeting in buildings, what I've trying to show you there is where some of that stuff went wrong. There are even fewer of these. If it's something you're really not interested in, then you can pass it back and maybe someone else would want to look at that. If you want these things but don't have one, let us know and we'll get you one. But it just describes there, it shows there some of the history behind some of those things. When the church began meeting in buildings, why are sermons such an important thing in every church that you go to? What about paying, even tithes and offerings and clergy salaries? Where did all of that come from? And we don't see most of that stuff in the New Testament. So we're saying perhaps there's some stuff that has really gotten in the way of how God wants to use His church to transform people's lives and impact the world in a very powerful way. And that just isn't happening in the conventional forms of church, by and large. So that's what that sheet is. So you don't go, well, is he just making this stuff up? No, I mean, it's there's some history to it and some work that's been done, okay? All right, last thing I'm going to give you, okay? I have probably enough of these for just about everybody. Last one. You're getting good exercise here. You'll be ready for soccer. Okay. All right. This here, and you can make some more. You can make some more comments and ask some more questions. This here, Matt, will you give me the slide? In fact, I'll show you the slide as well. But you'll get a copy of this. We're trying to make some things available to you that just might be of interest or maybe of help. This one certainly is the case. We wanna share with you what's going to happen in the next couple months. And there'll be some other pieces of information we'll give to you in a few minutes that'll help you understand it. Let me just say this. We can't meet here anymore. Okay? We can't afford to meet here anymore. So we're not gonna. Okay? Which is fine. It's been very cool how in the last couple of weeks, God, I think providentially, some neat things have happened, and the schools and the landlord of our office right now have looked very, very favorably upon us. And so basically, as best we know at this point, we have a new space that we will meet in. We're going to tell you about that in a couple minutes. We're hoping to be able to do that on September 2nd. It's just down the road here. I could just about throw a rock and put it through the window if I wanted to, but I won't do that. September 2nd, we'll meet in a new location. All the month of September, all the month of October, we will continue to do a large group gathering there. Okay? We need to talk about a time because we're going back to the morning. We aren't going to do the evening thing anymore. And so we'll need to talk about that in a moment. But here's what our goal is. Here's what we would like to begin doing in the month of November. On the first and third Sunday of every month, we want for you to find a home somewhere around the city. And by city, I mean Cedar Springs area. Okay. The larger community and meet with a group of people there on the first and third Sunday. Okay. On the second and fourth Sundays, we will do a large group gathering at our central location, okay, on Northland Drive. Any fifth Sunday, you can see it there. We would recommend it for things like Servant Sunday. We want you as a house church to decide what do you want to do with that day, okay? We can talk more about this. I just want to fly you through it here real quick. So let's say, for example, November 4th, you're going to meet in someone's home somewhere, wherever it is. Hopefully, what we really dream about is something kind of in your neighborhood, close by to where you live. You know, so you're not driving 25 miles to someone else's home. Something maybe closer to where you kind of know people and, you know, you drive every day and so forth. Can't all do that, Julie. You're already driving a bajillion miles. Okay, so on November 4th, you'd meet in a house church. We envision you spending time maybe eating together, sharing a Jesus meal. It isn't just a little cracker and a cup of juice. It's something. They celebrated who Jesus is and what Christ has done on their behalf as they shared meals together. And again, we'll talk more about this stuff in the months of September and October. You would start working through a passage. Say we pick a theme for the month, and we're going to give you a passage or two, and you're just as a group going to start working through it, and we'll help you know how best to do that. You read it, you talk about it, so forth. You spend some time praying together, whatnot. Now, we think it would be best if you met in someone's home on a Sunday, be it a Sunday morning, afternoon, evening, brunch. We don't care. We think it would be best because that would allow us to connect with your house church more regularly and just be part of it, being able to be there. But if your house church chose to do so, you could meet at any time during the week. Again, it's up to that group to do that. Okay, at least we think that would be best right now, but we can talk about it. On the 11th, we all get together in a large group gathering. And there's a lot of really just kind of the dialogical teaching. It's dialogue. You know, the ways we've tried to in the past, you know, for quite a while, teach more. It's not just you just listening to one person, but we've tried to be more interactive and allow you to raise your hand at any point. And we interact and we dialogue and you ask questions and so forth. That's the kind of teaching that we see happening in the New Testament. And so that's why we've been trying to do more of it. But it would definitely be that. We have emphasized a lot of that teaching, preaching kind of format. Our band would still play and lead us in some praise and worship stuff. Although it might be more along the lines of us as a church deciding what songs would we want to use today to celebrate this, or what are we in the mood for kind of stuff. You know, a kids ministry. We think there are some real benefits and some very good things that come out of doing kids ministry. You know, collectively getting kids together, having somebody share some focused themes and lessons. We want to do that. We'll have travelers, explorers, and trailblazers, and so forth. All right. House church, a small group can still meet during the week if they want. On the 18th, again, this is the third Sunday now, you'll meet in a home somewhere, in that same home that you did 2 weeks before. And this time, your discussion will center around some of the questions that we will provide you, much like we do in house churches now. We'll provide you some discussion questions, things that will help you get through them. You'll probably have something you're connected to a little bit more because you've already been participating in it in different ways. You know, eating together, sharing together, however your house church chooses to do that. And then again on the 25th, the fourth Sunday of the month, we'll meet in a large group. Okay, so it's really this, it's kind of participating in both settings where we think that so much more can happen in the house church, in meeting with a group of people in a home where you begin to, like you said, it's really you begin to share life together. You begin to participate in this thing that God is doing in your midst. It's not just you come and be part of the largest spectator sport in America 4 times a month, okay? But also utilizing the times where we are all together. And what we envision happening on the 25th is now you're going to start hearing a little bit more of what else is going on in other people's lives. One of the key things I forgot to put here on the 18th, because it looks identical to the 4th, this isn't so much about doing a new thing. It's about learning to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. There isn't much of that going on in the church these days. And that's part of what I personally have been so convicted about the last few months. Where is there room for the Holy Spirit to work and do the things that God desires to do? Where do we allow for that? We just don't that much. And so one of the things that we want to be able to help people do is discover, how do I do that? How do I hear the voice of the Spirit more in my life? How do I... It's listening to not just the Holy Spirit, but listening to one another and listening to how the Spirit of God is speaking into, someone else's life, Kathy's life. And she just starts sharing, I don't know, I'm struggling with this, I'm wondering about that, or here's where I'm feeling convicted as I read this passage about these things. Well, God is speaking into that person's life. And, you know, because I'm part of the body of Christ with her, I need to hear that. Because God's speaking to me as well. We don't provide opportunities for that stuff to happen. And most of us go, that really freaks me out. I'm really scared of that. But that's the kind of stuff we read about and see happening in the New Testament. And it's the kind of thing that we want to experience more of. And it won't happen when you're all sitting here like this, staring at the back of the head of the person in front of you, just listening to one person talk. Right? We want to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to one another, because that's another way in which we do that. There's so much more that can be accomplished and that can happen and that will transform our lives and transform the lives of people around us when we gather together in those smaller groups like that. And it may sound scary to you, and you know what? It's scary to every one of us in some way. Because why? Because we don't know what to expect. We don't control it, right? But the more we do that, it'll be, I think, an amazing thing. And we'll just get more and more hungry for it. And we'll go, this is the stuff that God's been wanting to do all along. And we've been missing out on this. I'm absolutely convinced that that will happen. So that's kind of the layout. Comments, questions about this? Kelly. Yes. We can't cover all of it tonight. Are we planning on introducing more house church leaders? Absolutely. And yet, that's one of the things we want to open up and say, maybe you would want to be a person who would just allow us to use your home. Allow a group of people to meet in your home. You don't have to think of yourself as, oh, I need to do what Chad does or what Brad does in my home with people. I can't. No, that's not the kind of thing we're talking about. First of all, it's just opening your home and allowing people to come in. Then others who begin or feel they want to take on kind of key leadership roles in those house churches, yes, we want to identify who they could be. We want to begin working with them directly and, training and equipping them to do that. But we have a couple months here before we get to that point. And it's not something like we've kind of sat around and thought, oh, hey, let's just go ask this person or that person, or like we're going to draw names out of a hat or something. Again, we want it to be something that maybe you feel like, this is something I could do, or I'm willing to start with people meeting in my home, or I'm willing to take on some kind of leadership role with one of these house churches. So we don't have those people yet. We haven't identified them yet, but we believe the Spirit of God will lead us to do that and will lead you to do that. Is that okay? Okay. And again, this is all the kind of stuff that will happen in September and October. Because when we meet together, we'll talk through these kinds of things. We'll walk through what we believe God dreams for His church, particularly what we hope to see in house churches. And we'll begin to do some of that even together as a large group, as much as we can. You can only do so much of it. But at least you'll go, oh, this kind of thing. And actually, we've been doing a lot of that this summer. But more of it, and even some other things in addition to that. Okay. Other questions or comments? Mike? Good. Great comments. One of the things that we would do particularly is that, the large group gatherings would in many ways look very much like what, we're used to, okay? I mean, for the most part. The house church thing, I think that's where probably most of us would feel, you know, am I afraid, am I excited? We'd like to provide, you know, a kind of a toolbox, I guess, to each house church, things that would really help them be effective when they do meet together in that setting. Some things that you just go, oh, okay, we can use this. Oh, we can do that. Or, you know, so it's not as though we just, hey, just show up and we hope something good happens. No, we're really going to ramp up how we can help create a setting wherein more of that kind of stuff can happen, okay? And peel away some of the things that would just interfere with how the Spirit of God wants to be at work in your life and in the lives of the people together, okay? Again, we won't and can't cover it all. And shortly here, I want to finish the night by playing one more piece of that DVD. It's pretty short. Just some of those people commenting on their experiences there and how they have been a part of it. So we'll do that. But I'm just let me share one thing with you, and then Brad's going to show us a little bit more about the place that we're talking about, okay, and some of the specifics of that. Mike just said it. I want you to know that this is absolutely the way I believe and am sensing the Spirit of God leading in my life personally and for us as a church. There is nothing more to it, because the fact is we've tried and attempted all kinds of things, and that isn't leading us to where, from the day we started Journey, I just believed God wanted to take us. And this isn't about anything else other than that. As God is my witness, and one day I'll stand in front of Him, and you'll all get to know absolutely for sure Chad didn't have some other agenda, okay? And I say that because I read on our blog last night, somebody posted this statement on Thursday, said, "Just received the letter. Let me get this straight. Chad and Brad will not be doing any work, services, preaching, but you still want to make sure that God's money gets to you, and we should not forget that faithfully sharing financial resources is still part of how we church together. Sounds very cult to me. Let's just blindly follow Chad and Brad." Okay? Yeah. Now, I read that and I go, man, it breaks my heart because it has nothing to do with any of that. Okay? This is really about how the Holy Spirit is leading. That's all I can say. And part of the challenge, as I said in the letter, there's some things providentially that I think have been kind of coming together, and I see God's hand in it all, of kind of guiding and taking care of us and leading us forward. Particularly, they say to us, out of the blue, "We're going to double your rent in October." Our gatherings this summer have been, you know, sparsely attended. Several of you, you're here all the time, every week, and that's wonderful. But many haven't been able to, or weren't, or whatever. Well, you know, financially, we feel that. And so there are other things beyond even just meeting here, whether or not we can meet here, that are affected by that. So we just see God's hand in it and believe that good things are coming of it, and one of those things is we've got to move out of this space. Okay, next Sunday, by the way, is Wet and Wild, so maybe it's a surprise to you if you haven't figured it out yet that this is the last time we're going to be in this building. Okay, we aren't going to meet in here anymore, but we've got some cool digs that we think are going to be very useful to us in a number of different ways. Brad, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Show us some stuff.
Yeah, I can. I hadn't heard that before.
Which thing?
Comment from the blog.
Yeah,
well, it's kind of... You might feel scared, or it might, if you're hearing this for the very first time and you never experienced a house church, you might just think, sounds kind of weird to me. And that's okay, too. I'd really encourage you to come September and October as we begin to unpack and work through as a community and discuss why is it that house churches are such an important part of who we are. Why does that matter? What is it about house churches that is so driving church forward? What happens in a house church that can't happen here? We're going to work through and begin to talk about together those things in these 2 months. We're going to invest time in building up house churches right now. I'm not confident that we're ready to just jump into something like that. I don't know that our house churches are built up enough, that enough people are right now even participating in house churches. So we're going to work through that in the first couple months. I don't want to share all my cards, but the idea is house churches are where church is happening. If you haven't experienced a house church, it might just sound confusing or weird to you. But we believe that house churches are where God is moving, where the Spirit is speaking, where church is really happening. I guess not to show all our cards, I'm not confident that this will encourage more people to play a role in a house church or to be a part of a house church. And if we find out in December that that's not the case, we're gonna make some more changes, and because the ultimate goal is to get you to see or experience or understand or become a follower of Jesus in such a way that you would be part of a community, a house church, and begin to work through and live in the ways that the places where God is moving. We don't have all the answers. This is news, very new to us as well. Talking about scary, yeah, it's scary. This whole thing, God's money gets to you. It's just frustrating a little bit. We haven't drawn a paycheck for 2 months. That's, talk about scary. That's pretty scary. In the video, tithing money, it's not going to us. It's going to our community. And that's what we see happening. You know, this DVD talks about people who are able to make changes in the community in such a way that they were never able to before, because all of that money was going to a place that they're meeting or a staff of professionals. That's to us, as we begin to work through that, it's broken. And it doesn't make much sense. We see needs here in our community that we can't meet because we have to pay to meet in a place like this, or we have to pay the salaries. It's broken. It doesn't make as much sense. So we want to meet those needs in ways that we haven't been able to before. I don't know if that helps to answer just some of this tension here, but... Yeah, Maria. I go back and forth with that. That's good. And it's things like that that we continue to talk through and work through. And it might be messy and confusing. And together, just as a community, I hope that we can walk into that and move through that together.
And to a point, some of that is necessary because we want to be available.
Right.
to us as a spiritual community, okay, to do that. And if we're working, you know, 40, 50-hour week jobs, you know, it's really hard. I mean, any one of us would understand that. So yeah, to a point, we want to be able to do that. It's just we've looked at it and said, boy, maybe this is a way to for us to one step to experience more of how, what we could as a fully functioning New Testament, you know, church community. So yeah, but we'll keep working through that as mm-hmm. as a church together. Gilbert.
She said Marlee is a social worker, and she has an option to pay someone to kind of, how did you explain it?
To provide supervision.
To To make sure that she's ethically and morally responsible in caring for her clients. Kind of the same ideas here that I don't want to neglect the fact that we've both been to seminary and can, I believe, have the gift of teaching and helping. And not only that, but just the love to dive into the scriptures and encourage other people to do so as well. We go back and forth. Well, is that something that we should invest, you know, salaries in, or is it just something that we should do? You know, we should have a full-time job elsewhere, and then on our free time, you know, be able to do what we can here. We just go back and forth. I guess how all that can work out. But okay, so on to some things that I really do feel are exciting. We've found a place that we believe will work very well for us to meet. And, you know, Chad's talking about all these things that have just out of the blue come by or happened in such a timing and way that it seems, I mean, it's really hard not to see God in all of that. The place that we've found is, we have some pictures of it here. You've probably driven by, in fact, you might have driven by on your way here tonight. It's about, what, like a mile that way? On Northland, there's a strip mall. Behind that strip mall, you can see these storage units. So you can kind of get an idea if you're driving by. If you're going south, it's on the right-hand side of the road. The space that we could rent is right here on the end. And go ahead into the next slide. Here's another picture from just from Northland. Okay, go to the next one. These two front doors go into two separate rooms, and we'll show you what they look like inside. Go ahead. Here's what the space looks like. There's on the far end, the very northern part of the building. It's a big room. It's about 800 square feet. There's a bathroom right in that room. You can walk through the door and go into a room that's I think it's about 400 square feet with a bathroom in here as well. Also a place. The store stuff down here in the corner. And then up in front, this would be like Northland is right up here. Up in front through this door, there's another open space right here. This was just built at Christmas time, I think. They finished in March. It's a brand new addition to this strip mall area. No one's been in it yet. We'd be the first people to be in that building. Okay, go to the next slide. Here's what it could look like with tables and stuff in here. I don't know exactly how we would use this space. We know that this side, being the biggest area, we'd probably use for you know, our times when we would gather together. We can fit 80 people reasonably in there. This is at least 80, I think, right here. You know, the band. I got a little picture of drums and stuff. Right there. These two spaces... I don't know. We'd have to, I guess, brainstorm a little bit about how we would use those spaces. We envision that maybe back here we could have some office space where we could have some desks and stuff set up here for, you know, throughout the week if we needed or wanted to meet with people. Also, we could maybe do like the nursery. Right now we have it split into three different groups, maybe combining those four different groups.
Four.
Yeah. It's kind of been three different groups.
Yeah,
for
right.
This summer
it's been three.
And who knows what will happen, you know, in the fall. But maybe we could combine that a little bit into two groups, like Trailblazers and then Nursery through Explorers, I think is what it is. I don't know. We can dream and brainstorm and be creative and figure out how we'd want or could use that space. But here's just some ideas. Okay, go to the next one. We'll look inside and see some pictures. Now, I had a really hard time trying to figure out how I could do this so it would make sense when you see just the pictures, having not been there before. So, I don't know, it might not make sense still. But if you look at the green arrow, that's where the picture was taken from. So you can kind of get an idea of maybe what you're looking at. So go to the next slide. You'll see it's coming from that area. So this is the space in that front room. There's nothing in here right now. The tile floor, it's really nice tile. They had a guy come in and do it. It looks really nice, though. Okay, go on to the next one. It's like 11-foot ceilings, I think. Pretty high ceilings. It's from the other corner of the same room. That's what it looks like. This front door goes out to a parking area, and then Northland Drive is right on the other side of that. Okay, go to the next one. This is coming from, I think that maybe this space we could use as, like, you know, additional storage right here. Go ahead to the next picture. This looks like this room isn't finished yet. We might have some options of how we could, he said he'd finish it if we chose to move into that space, but maybe there'd be a way that maybe we could finish it and save on some rent or something like that. This goes, you'll see that door right there is some storage space right in that room. This door, you can't really see it, but that goes into the bigger space. I don't know if that helps to give you an idea where you're at, but that goes out to the back. That's just an exit out to the back. All right. This is from the same room, right kind of next to the bathroom, looking towards the big space. Get an idea. I don't know. I thought, just want to give you as much as you can so you can kind of envision it and picture it in your mind. Mm-hmm. All right, go to the next one.
Good job.
This is from the front door. What would be the front door to the bigger space? Looking out. There's fans all along the ceiling. You can only see one here, but there's fans all along the ceiling. There's this is the bathroom right in this door, and there's two doors, two exits on the back, and there's one right kind of behind you. Behind, you're looking away from Northland. From this picture. Okay. It's from the front corner. Go ahead. See, this is the bathroom here. That's a door that goes outside. This door right here goes into the back, kind of the back room. But you can see the space a little bit better. All right. And this is from the back corner. That's looking out towards Northland Drive from the space. And one more. Kind of same idea. Is that the last one? Yeah, okay. Some cool things about the space that we're really excited about. We don't have to move anything out every Sunday or in every Sunday. We can use that space 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just have a bunch of ideas of how we could use that space. One idea being, okay, you know, house churches are going to be essential to who we are. Well, maybe a house church meets there. Maybe a couple of house churches meet there. Maybe a house church meets there on the time we would normally gather together on a Sunday. Maybe throughout the week we do house church kind of just training stuff. But I don't know. Maybe there's a guys' night there watching movies, or I don't know. We can use this space. We've never had an option to be able to use this space anytime we wanted it. It's just really exciting, I think. Kind of a cool thing to begin thinking about and working through. So, did you want to talk about finances on the space or anything like that?
But maybe for sake of time, we don't have to. I mean, it's a significant savings for us to be able to put our office in a space where, you know, we would meet not only on Sundays, but then have it available to us. We've already had some, you know, others that say, hey, maybe we could use it for this and pay, you know, a little bit to help offset your, you know. So, it's really cost effective for us. Does it look like a much smaller space than this? Absolutely, you know. But this right now is just kind of swallowing us up. And by the way, Josh Cooper who's part of Journey, did a ton of work on looking for some spaces, and we looked at a couple different ones. We went into them and checked them out, and either they were just way too small or configured in a weird way that just would never work for us, or they were way too expensive ultimately. So it just, this thing kind of happened, and it's been cool. So I'm sorry, Mindy, you had your hand up. Okay. talking about throwing up a pole barn on the property. We own property right directly behind that. Anybody want to speak to that? Yeah, sure. Oh, sure. Yeah, we haven't finalized it yet. Right now, we pay $1,500 a month for this. It would be $3,000 in the fall. We spend $500 a month for our office space, so let's say $2,000, plus an additional $80 a month or so for our band to practice in another facility. So, whatever that is, let's say $2,100. We're expecting probably about $1,200 a month for offices, a space we can use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we haven't nailed that down yet. So. No. And like I say, having you know, because you have to have the drive put in back to there. You got to put in a parking, all that stuff. It just would be right now where we're at. It'd be way too cost effective or way too cost prohibitive. Thank you, prohibitive. And we don't want to use our money to do that right now. You know, so great question. It is that property's there. We'll have to see. Comes with it. Yeah.
Just said about meeting weekly in the space. I'm still kind of going back and forth. Sometimes I think, yeah, this space, we could meet there anytime we want. We can meet there every week. Now that we have a space, wouldn't it be great to just, you know, be able to use it as much as we can? And then I go to the other side where I think, well, if house churches are essential to who we are, how do we encourage people to go to house? You know, because we meet. We meet weekly now, yet only a small percentage of us are regularly participating in house churches. So what kind of changes do we need to make to encourage people to be more involved in a house church? And maybe this is the answer. Maybe we meet together in large group settings only twice a month, and the other two times a month you meet together as a house church. You know, and 2 months into it, 3 months into it, we may find out that, you know what, people still aren't a part of a house church, and maybe there's some other changes that need to be made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
But that will never happen when you just gather together as a large group all the time, like in a setting like this.
Yep.
Because you're not, you know, you just don't. I mean, where does that happen? So.
Yep. We've had some. Sorry.
I was just going to say to push ourselves into some of those settings where at least the opportunity is there for that stuff to begin to develop and grow. Go ahead.
We had some ideas of even, you know, maybe house churches, newer house churches, maybe they're launched in that space that everyone is already familiar with or comfortable with. Maybe for a few weeks you meet there, and then once you get a little bit more comfortable with each other, maybe then you go to someone's house. Because it's a little bit more uncomfortable to say, I'm going to go to your home than it is to, say, like, meet in a space that we always meet in anyway. Does that kind of make sense a little bit? Yeah, maybe we could use that space in that way, too.
Gilbert. We could do that. Yeah, we could have two celebrations. Yep, to accommodate for more people. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay. I'll let Josh and then go ahead, Josh. Any others? I mean, I know there are several. Dan?
As believers in Jesus Christ and people who want to make a difference
And the thing of it is, it's going to make more of a difference to us personally than it will with anybody that attends any house church that we go to. So from a house church standpoint, we all try to think in terms of, we're used to thinking in terms of big. And I really see it as happening in small steps and everybody being uncomfortable with it, but everybody growing together. And all of these other administrative things can be worked out together.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, right now it still feels very much like Chad and Brad are going to drag the journey, kicking and screaming, to something to something that's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But for that, I commend you.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. And by the way, I think in those months when we are together, I think we will do a lot of that. We'll have more people who are part of house churches share what has their experience been, and you know, so you'll get more of that. We won't try to do it all tonight. Julie? Yeah. Kind of need both. She's saying different people have different ways in which they learn and engage things, and that's part of why we want to do it in the format that we are shooting toward, okay, at that point. But Dan, and then I want to jump to one last thing. Matt, thank you, Dan, very much. Will you play the bonus feature? I want to show you just a few minutes of this, some people sharing, actually, Gilbert, what you're asking about, and then we'll wrap it up and pray together and go from there. I just thought those were encouraging things to hear, and you know, bottom line, this isn't really anything new to us. It's just a matter of taking some longer strides and moving closer to experiencing and participating in church as God designed it and intended, that it will impact the world and be building His kingdom, which one day Christ said, I'm going to come back and establish for all eternity. So we want to be about that work until He does. And so hopefully those were helpful things to hear, and hopefully the discussion has been helpful, although I know it's just the beginning. Please, if you want to make a comment, a nice comment, I'm just kidding, do it on a blue card and throw it in the backpack right here. If you were going to give or share financially with Journey, go ahead and do that as well. You can get on our blog, the website blog, and you can share some thoughts, ask questions there. We will just keep going at it, okay? Now, just quickly, by the way, we will let you know for sure. Next Sunday is Wet and Wild from 11 to 1 in Morley Park, okay? There's a meeting for that, by the way, Tuesday night, 6:30, at Joe and Stacy Foley's home. And you guys live out on Shaner, okay? You can see Carrie or Rhonda for directions, or Stacy. She probably knows, or Joe. You guys probably both know. But see any of them for directions to the house. If you've not signed up to help out, maybe fill some water balloons. See Carrie or Rhonda, and we need everyone to help make this event a huge success. So next week Sunday, 11 to 1. See one of the Smiths before you leave about that. That's a huge thing. That would mean then the next Sunday, what do we do? Where do we go? Well, show up. Show up down there. Hopefully, we'll keep you posted on all that. We've got to nail down that stuff for sure early this week. A time. Oh, 9:30 or 10. I don't care. When do you want to meet? What? No, yeah, you have to bring lawn chairs at this point. Okay. I think it will be. Bring some lawn chairs and we'll figure it out. Or bean bags. I don't care what you want to sit on, okay? We'll do that. So that'll be Sunday. Let's go 9:30 right now, okay? Can we go 9:30? And if nobody shows up, then I know you're all sleeping in. We'll just go 10 o'clock the next week, okay? Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that even on the 2nd, September 2. I'm trying to. Melissa Gardner needs some work done on her roof, and they've been working hard to try to raise some money. Need to do some more, but let's talk about that on September 2. Okay, you be there and bring it up, and we'll talk in detail about it. You guys, I know it's been a long night. I know we just really appreciate your time and giving of yourselves to this. You know what? We're gonna take just a quick moment to pray, and please, let's keep talking about it. If you got questions or comments, bring them up and share them with us. Okay? We really want to be able to do that. We're really excited about what all may come of this, and we trust that God's leading us somewhere, and it'll be sweet to see where we come out. Okay? All right. Let's just all stand up. And would somebody pray for us, pray nice and loud so everybody can hear? And then please go immediately to get your children, okay? Do not pass go. What's that? And sign up for Wet and Wild. All right, God bless you. Have a great journey. We'll catch you next week, Wet and Wild.